Find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities. to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all these devotees in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottam Das simply weeps. Since we're going to discuss the disappearance day of His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj, I thought we'd read a letter that was sent by B.B. Govinda Maharaj. Have you read this letter? It was on the internet. How many have read the letter? So we can go over it now. I may say a few things. Dear Vaishnava community, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Tamal Krishna Goswami joined us in Kirtan every evening prior to his departure. For many nights, the Kirtan had been conducted in his quarters. No invitation was required. When the door was opened, the room quickly filled to capacity with devotees, young and old, eager to enter into the nectarian chanting of the Lord's holy names. This is really the spiritual highlights of each day. It was the event that gave meaning to being in Mayapur. We all sat together with one of our most elder brothers, a loving family of devotees, singing the names of Sri Radha and Sri Krishna with deep feelings. On the last evening of Tamal Krishna Goswami's presence, the kirtan shifted to the Panchatattva temple. This was done due to the increasing size of the crowd. On his last evening in Mayapur, he came from the main Pandal program. Having finished speaking, he joined the kirtan. After an hour of kirtan, he reached over, held my hand, and thanked me for being in kirtan with him. And he told me, "Tomorrow, I'll be leaving." I asked him where he was going, and he said, "Back to home." And after a pause, he said, "Back to the UK." I thanked him for his association, told him I would try to see him off the next morning. Tamal Krishna Goswami left for Calcutta at 4:15. He was accompanied by Brindavaneshwari and Kala Sambhara of Auckland, New Zealand, and by his disciple Agavit. I sang Mangal Arati that morning for the pleasure of Radha Madhava. During the Tulsi Puja, I sat next to Shivaram Swami to begin chanting my japa. I looked up and saw Tamal Krishna Maharaj's cook, Gopal Raj, quickly walking by. I reached out and took his hand and asked him if Maharaj had departed on time. Gopal Raj responded by saying a phone call had just come and that there had been a serious accident and Tamal Krishna Maharaj was unconscious. That was around 5:15 a.m. So it appears that the accident occurred during Brahma Muhurta at the conclusion of Mangal Arati. I related this news to Shivaram Maharaj. We both jumped up and Shivaram Maharaj ran to Jayapataka Swami. Immediately we went outside and began to arrange vehicles. The morning festival announcements had begun. I returned to the temple, took the microphone, and informed the devotees of the tragic news we had just received. I requested the devotees to silently pray to the feet of Lord Narsingha and Radha Madhava for the safety of Goswami Maharaj and the members of his party. After a minute of silent prayer, I ran from the temple room. Vehicles were organized. In our car there were Jayapataka Swami, Shivaram Swami, Niranjan Swami, Jayadvaita Swami, myself, and a few Bengali devotees. We immediately left for the site. The place of the accident is a village is on the main highway called Puliya. This is a holy site where Namacharya Haridas Thakur lived in a crocodile hole on the banks of the Ganges. Here he chanted 300,000 holy names a day, was beaten in 22 marketplaces, and was tempted by Maya Devi, personified, and ultimately initiated her. We came off the Shantipura bypass and proceeded for some time. Two cars from the opposite direction stopped us and informed us that there had been a terrible accident on the highway. As we approached, we saw the car sitting upright, but sideways, on the highway. All the windows were smashed, and the top left top side of the vehicle was somewhat collapsed. There was a large crowd at the site. As we reached the spot, we found devotees in hysteria. They informed us that all the wounded had been taken to Rangagat Hospital. They also informed that Goswami Maharaj was unconscious. We reached the hospital. We found hysterical grieving Vaishnavas. We were taken immediately to the room where Goswami Maharaj's body was lying. At one glance, we could see that he had left his body. I mentioned this to Naranjan Swami, and in shock, we offered our obeisances to Maharaj. We touched our heads to the feet of that great servant of Srila Prabhupada and praised that Srila Prabhupada's and Krishna's mercy be fully with him. From the report of Kala Samvarapuru, the accident took place on a very straight stretch of the road. There were no obstructions on the highway, no traffic from the opposite direction. It appears that the driver of Tamakrishna Goswami's Tata Sumo fell asleep at the wheel. At high speed, the sumo sideswiped a very large tree on the left side of the road. The vehicle lost balance, began rolling. The front left side of the cabin caved in. Goswami Maharaj was sitting in the front left passenger seat with his seat belt fastened. Brindavaneshri was sitting directly behind him. These two took the full brunt of the high-speed collision and roll. Kalasamvara was able to free himself from the car. He first tried to remove. Goswami Maharaj was soon realized that his body was lifeless. Kalasamvara Prabhu was quite certain that Goswami Maharaj had left his body immediately upon impact. He then removed Brindavaneshri and Agavit from the car and placed all the injured into the second car that had been following them. They proceeded to the Rangagat Hospital. Kalasamvara's perception was confirmed at the hospital. Goswami Maharaj had immediately given up his body during the accident. Brindavaneshri suffered severe head damage and was given minimal chance of survival. Although an arrangement had been made to transfer her to Calcutta, she gave up her body minutes later on the floor of the women's ward. When she passed away, Shivaram Swami and Niranjan Swami were softly singing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Chaipataka Swami diligently walked through the situation with the police, investigators, and doctors. He was trying very tactfully to get immediate release of the bodies, but it was not allowed. According to Indian law, all accidental deaths require a post-mortem. We tried to explain that Goswami Maharaj was an acharya. There was an agreement that the post-mortem doctor would make the smallest minimum incisions on the body of Goswami Maharaj in Brindavaneshwari. Around 11 a.m., we carried his body to the morgue. After 12 p.m., the post-mortem doctor came and performed his work. Chaipataka Maharaj succeeded in having all papers signed by 3 p.m. We placed the bodies of Goswami Maharaj and Brindavaneshwari inside the Sankirtan bus, ready to leave for Mayapur. Then another problem arose. There were at least 200 local people that refused to allow our bus to roll until they had darshan of Maharaj's face. We said that they should take darshan of his feet, but they insisted that as he was a Mahatma, they had to see his face. We were hesitant, but the crowd became unruly. As soon as we showed them Maharaj's face, they all began to chant Mahamantra and offer pranam. Then they allowed us to leave. Even though Shantipur is traditionally a place of Vaishnava offenders, as the bus passed through the street, people chanted Hare Krishna and showed respect by folding their palms. We reached Mayapur around 4:30 p.m. There was an ocean of grieving Vaishnavas waiting at the gate. The bus moved slowly down the main drive to the main guest house building and turned right. Kirtan was being led by Lokanath Maharaj. The bodies were removed from the bus and taken to different rooms at the rear of the guest house. They were prepared for the respective funeral ceremonies. The ladies who were preparing the body, Her Grace Brindavaneshwari, noted that all of her limbs were still soft and subtle. Only her right hand, which was formed in the position of a person holding Japa Bees was erect and immovable. After cleansing her remains, she was carried to the shore of Mother Ganges and cremated. It was the actual birthday of Vrindavaneshwari. She wanted the special privilege and birthday gift of riding in the car to Calcutta with Goswami Maharaj, but she actually received the priceless gift of riding back to Godhead with her beloved friend and Shikshaguru Tamakrishna Goswami. Goswami Maharaj's body was bathed, massaged, and ghee. Mantras were written in sandalwood paste upon his body. He was dressed in new cloth and was profusely covered with garlands. His body was then placed upon a stretcher and carried in procession around the deities. For nearly 40 minutes, his remains rested on the platform in front of Shishi Radha Madhava for final darshan. The assembled Vaishnavas filed by and had their final darshan of Goswami Maharaj. During this darshan, the kirtan was sweetly sung by Niranjan Goswami. When the procession left at the samadhi of Srila, Prabhupada, his remains were shown to Prabhupada in the samadhi, and there was circumambulation of Srila Prabhupada. The procession left the samadhi and proceeded to the selected site of Maharaja's samadhi. He was slowly lowered into the samadhi pit. Puja was conducted and his feet were washed. He was offered bhoga and arati was performed. Flowers were then tossed upon his remains and some were collectively used in the Pushpa Samadhi that will be erected at ISKCON Bhaktivedanta Ashram in Govardhan. The body of His Holiness Tamakrishna Goswami was first covered with salt and then earth. The site of Goswami Maharaj's Samadhi is on the left side of the Parikrama path around Srila Prabhupada's Samadhi. It was just near the point where the paths turns proceed to the Grihastha living area is an area which has been designated in the Mayapur city master plan for samadhis. On Saturday, there was a remembrance ceremony for His Holiness Tamakrishna Goswami Maharaj and Her Grace Vrindavaneshwari Devi Dasi. The ceremony was overseen by His Holiness Shiva Maharaj. Many senior devotees spoke of their deep appreciation, affection, and love for both of these unique and wonderful souls. Tamakrishna Maharaj was recognized as a dedicated servant of Srila Prabhupada. The quantity, quality, and varieties of his service he performed for Srila Prabhupada's pleasure was amazing. Many devotees acknowledged that he was a strict disciplinarian, sharp and demanding, but all who spoke shared a vision of Goswami Maharaj. He was not simply the stereotypical demanding controller, but of a gentle and extremely soft-hearted Vaishnav who relished sharing love with all. A charming, elegant person who had enormous capacity to give shelter. This is just different excerpts from different speeches. A charming, elegant person that had enormous capacity to give shelter, guidance, care, instruction, affectionate love to many, many people. A master of wit and cleverness, a connoisseur of fine prasadam, an enigma, a misunderstood person, a person who is like chutney, unbearably hot and irresistibly sweet simultaneously, a person who Prabhupada could always depend upon, a person who could rise to overcome any challenge to the service of Srila Prabhupada, a person who Prabhupada would always call for in time to help in times of need, a person who served Prabhupada with deep, unflinching love during the final days of His Divine Grace, a person who was a general in Srila Prabhupada's Sankirtan army, a person who courted controversy, a person who made mistakes and never gave up his determination to serve at the feet of Srila Prabhupada, a person who inspired thousands of devotees for His wonderful classes, a person denigrant a self, a humble person, a person who peace craftily eluded. As Srila Prabhupada said, a man desperate to do anything for the service of Guru and Gauranga. Her Grace Vrindavaneshwari was remembered as a great Sankirtan devotee and massive collector who was always short of funds because she never kept for herself. A caring wife, a wonderful mother, amazingly talented cook, a kind person who never ran short on big smiles, and most profoundly a lover of the holy names of the Lord. She could chant Japa and Kirtan endlessly with great taste and devotion. After many hours of loving remembrances, there was a Pushpanjali ceremony, followed by Arti to the photo of Goswami Maharaj. The kirtan was led by one of his dearest and closest friends, Keshavarti Prabhu. After which there was a wonderful feast offered to Radha Madhava in remembrance of His Holiness, Tamakrishna Goswami Maharaj. All the disciples of Srila Prabhupada honored prasadam on the veranda where the DVC had prasad. At the head of the line, all the Vaishnavas, was a table of Radha Madhava's Mahaprasad, and seated in front of that table was an asana with a picture of Goswami Maharaj. After relishing the feast, we all partook of his remnants, passing of his divine grace, Tamakrishna Goswami Maharaj, and Brindavaneshwari Mataji has filled our hearts with devastation and sadness. For many of us who are close friends, a brother, a sister, and a sincere well-wisher. Their departure marks a great loss for our International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Such wonderful and glorious Vaishnavas possessed with a ceaseless determination to preach are so rare and hard to find. But we are happy for them and perfectly assured that they have both gone back home to serve in the realm beyond tears. We are especially happy that Goswami Maharaj has now captured the peace that so eluded him by again attaining the association of his beloved spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, and their divine lordship, Sri Sri Radha Shamashundha. Srila Tamakrishna Goswami Maharaj ki jai, Srimati Brindavaneshwari Devi Dasi ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Giri Govardhan ki jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Om. With affectionate regards, B.B. Govinda Swami. So I was also personally there. Personally, I've known His Holiness Tamakrishna Maharaj since 1969. And associated with him for, I guess it's 69, 33 years now. Different times I was his cook, his secretary, his Sankirtan leader on Radha Damodar, his temple president. Bradley, I can't think of what service I didn't. I traveled with him on his barth, his bus. To prasadam with many times. He generally told me what services he wanted me to do or what services he didn't want me to do. Sometimes we agreed. Most of the times we agreed, sometimes we didn't. But it's quite a dynamic relationship. And the last days he was quite sweet, although I haven't had much association with him for the last few years. But when he came to India this time, we had a very affectionate relationship. So he was quite a remarkable person. I saw him at practically every juncture of his devotional career. I was his secretary and cook and servant when he went to, was asked to go to Hong Kong, to China by the GBC. I was with him when he was asked to go to China by Prabhupada. I was with him when he decided, he asked me about starting a career in, my parents were living right a few miles, less than a mile where he was living with Holiness Sri Dayananda Maharaj, and Tamakrishna Maharaj was staying with him. He was in 90s, when he decided to start an academic career. So he asked me about that. I saw him in Cambridge, Oxford recently. I was with him on Radha Damodar when he was traveling. I saw him before he went to join Prabhupada. I went with him to the airport to join Prabhupada as his personal servant and secretary. So, I traveled with him for quite a number of years. So I got to know Tama Krishna Maharaj quite well. He got to know me quite well too. I saw him living very simply. I saw him living a little bit more opulently. I saw him practically I saw him as a Sankirtan leader. I distributed books when he was in Dallas. I did the marathon there for a couple of years when he was staying there during the marathons. So, he was obviously a very empowered instrument for Srila Prabhupada and for the Sankirtan movement. And he did amazing service. He was the most intense person I ever met in my life. But he certainly utilized that intensity. He was like a laser. And when he applied it to devotional service, it was quite amazing. He was probably the most observant person I ever saw. I remember one time showing him a picture when I was in charge of some temples in South America. Immediately he told me, looked at the picture and said, "Why does this modernity have lipstick on?" So I couldn't answer exactly why. He had more or less figured out the something about her. In any case, he was quite perceptive and quite a good organizer. Not everyone appreciated sometimes his intensity, but in the ultimate issue, many things were accomplished which probably wouldn't have been accomplished by a person who was less intense. I saw him when the GBC had asked him to go to China. This is in, we were in Chicago. This is in 1980. At that time, the meeting had lasted like 5 days or something. The GBC didn't ask me, they wouldn't let me go and say anything because they thought I was too prejudiced at that time. But at that time, I was cooking for him every day. I was making, all he wanted me to do was use Prabhupada's burnt triple tier cooker, which was a little bit more difficult to cook with than we can imagine. It wasn't such an instant success. But although Tama Krishna Maharaj was generally a little discerning in his cook in what he ate, somehow or another for those days, he accepted all the prasadam I cooked in that triple tier burner. Not all of it was exactly perfect either. And I remember he told me after the 5 days of meetings, and he said, "Well, they told me to go to China." So, and then he said, "Well, I guess I'll go." So I saw him how surrendered he was. At that time, it's very hard to imagine because 1977, after Prabhupada left, then at that time, one of my closest friends in the movement was Jayatirtha Prabhu. Later, it was Jayatirtha Maharaj. And at that time, a whole understanding of who the gurus were in our society and how to properly honor them, it was getting more and more, well, incredible. More or less, eventually they put the gurus on the same platform as Srila Prabhupada. So at first, I more or less, myself personally, our mood was because when when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada had left, then Prabhupada said that many of his godbrothers, they couldn't recognize that he was actually an acharya, and therefore they were envious of him. So many of my godbrothers and myself, we didn't want to be envious, so we, more or less, whatever was deemed fitting, then we tried to go along with it. Because I knew these devotees also in different circumstances. Many of them I had joined before they were. Some of them, like Bhagavan, he was Bhakti and his wife, and I preached them. But anyhow, we went along with it. But it came to quite an exalted position. And then suddenly, by around 1979, I was acting as the temple president of Detroit. And they had an extraordinary meeting there. It was the first time all the gurus had assembled together in one place. And I didn't know what this extraordinary meeting was about exactly. They didn't really inform me about it. But they all gathered, and we had constructed 11 Vyasasans. And we had quite an elaborate arrangement. It was kind of, and I personally picked them up at the airport. In any case, by 1980, it seemed like there was a number of controversies within our society, and that the position given to the Diksha Gurus at that time was being questioned a little. But I was quite amazed to see how humbly Tamal Krishna Maharaj had taken the decision of the TDC and without any hesitation had agreed to follow their instructions. Of course, later on then they asked me to join with Jagadish Prabhu at that time to get trained up to become the Minister for Education. Position I wasn't too enthusiastic, especially after traveling with Jagadish Prabhu throughout all the different gurukuls and seeing what was going on. I decided that I'd go back to Dallas and become the temple president there. In any case, it was quite an exciting time within our society in many different ways, but it was certainly a time of learning. In other words, although we may think that due to Prabhupada's presence that the devotees would have learned everything in a very short period of time, but actually looking back at it, that Prabhupada, what he was trying to teach us is so subtle and profound, so sublime, that generally it takes many, many lifetimes to learn how to actually become a pure devotee, a selfless, surrendered soul to the lotus feet of Krishna and his devotees. So there are many things that our society had to go through at that time. Different aspects of our personalities and our services were sometimes glorified by engaging them in Krishna service, and sometimes there were questions and controversies that arose. But ultimately, the real test is the devotees who go on with their service in spite of any kind of problems or controversies or questions, and go on trying to improve and increase their service to Srila Prabhupada. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj is certainly such a person. He, in spite of whatever problems arose, he went on. And whatever facilities he had, he was able to do amazing things in Dallas, in China, Taiwan, the Philippines. And many other places too. He started many temples here in Europe. He traveled throughout America. In Radha Damodar, they were the top book distributors in the world at that time. No one thought they would ever be defeated. And at that time, even when Prabhupada told him to go to China, although he hesitated a little bit, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, as you probably know, there were some controversies amongst the Grihasthas and the Radha Damodar party. And Prabhupada was at the center of it as a mediator. And during the controversy, Tamal Krishna Maharaj told Prabhupada, I guess I should go to China. So at that time, it was like a joke. When someone told you to go to, you know, to do something or go somewhere, you say, oh yeah, I guess I should go to China. That was like equal to, I guess I should go to Siberia. So of course nowadays many devotees do go to Siberia, and some devotees do go to China, so it doesn't seem as unusual at that time. But it was quite unusual to make such a remark. And then when Prabhupada said, oh, He called in Kama Krishmaraj and said, "Remember what you said yesterday?" And Tamal Krishmara said, "Well, Prabhupada, I was only joking." And then Prabhupada said, "Well, I think Krishna was talking through you." But he surrendered. And he decided to go to China. I remember the second time he went to China. After he came back, I met him. And some of you may have heard the story that he told me that when I was in China, I was being hosted by one head of a province ruling over some millions of people as a businessman. He went as a businessman. Tristadumya, who was his assistant, who went to China with him, his father was the head of Seagram's, vice president of Seagram's. That's an alcohol. But he was very intelligent in business, so he said, go in as a businessman. So he went as a businessman, and the head of the province said, you know, I want to give him a big fee. So he said, "Well, you know, I'm a vegetarian, so, you know, I don't know if we can eat your food." He said, "No problem, we can make vegetarian food." So they prepared the vegetarian food. Tamal Krishnamurti is saying he's watching everyone else eat. They're eating these birds. Fried birds. Then they brought in, you know, they're crunching on the birds like you crunch on pretzels or something. So then they brought in this cake. They said, Tamal Krishnamurti said, "Are you sure it's vegetarian?" They said, "Of course. It's 100% vegetarian." So he said, "Are you sure it's vegetarian? What is it made out of?" He said, "It's 100% vegetarian. Why are you worried? It's made out of 100% insects." So that's China. So he's able to, by Krishna's arrangement, was able to do something significant even there. And still the mission there is going on, although all the details of it are probably better off not being disclosed. So Tamal Krishnamurti is such a person. I remember when I had the temple in Houston with him and his servant Srinathru, and then later on he went to Austin, Texas, where I later on became the president. And then Vishnujan Maharaj asked me to give some of our devotees over to Houston, so I gave some of them to Houston, but then we wound up struggling a little bit in Austin. So I asked Vishnujan Maharaj if he'd give us some devotees to help out in Austin. So he said, "No, our plan is not to give devotees, we're going to take all the devotees. We're going to take all the devotees, and we're going to take you and all your temple, and you'll join Radha Damodar." So actually he did it. He took our vehicles, and the devotees were transferred to Houston, but I joined Radha Damodar. So at that time, somehow or another, they had the ability, they collected many temple presidents, many devotees, but they actually did something significant with it. I was one of the party leaders on Radha Damodar, so for many years we just traveled all around America and spent many hours on the streets during the day and sometimes at night distributing books. So although later on it became controversial, but I'm sure the literally hundreds and thousands of people who received books, actually it was more like millions, they were certainly benefited by it. And then Prabhupada adjusted everything. So whatever he did, even if there was some controversy behind it, generally it benefited many persons, and the controversies after a while people forgot about. Or if they look back on it, they would always think it was some exciting time within our society. And I'm sure we all learned a lot. So it was quite unexpected in many ways of Tamal Krishnamurti's passing, and also Vrindavaneshwari, who I also knew, not as well, but I knew her from around 10 or 15 years. her former husband herself once asked me to do their astrological charts. And for their son also. So I got to know them because we spent some time talking with each other. She was a very dedicated lady in Krishna service. I saw her right before she left. She was quite an exceptional Vaishnavi, quite dedicated. She'd spend hours and hours collecting, but at the same time she was like the lion in the chase and the lamb at home. And she was very serious about her sadhana and very dedicated to whatever service she was given. As it says there, she was a good cook also. So what Krishna's plans are, that we can't really say. It's impossible to know exactly why things happen. But as Prabhupada was saying in his last days, because everyone, when they saw Prabhupada, they were so shocked at Prabhupada's external appearance. And Prabhupada's remark was that don't think that this is not going to happen to you. So we shouldn't think that Tamalakrishna Maharaj left and we're here. Actually, I'm sure Tamalakrishna Maharaj has gone to serve Prabhupada and Krishna. So it's not that he's not serving and we are, or he left and we're here. Actually, Krishna is just arranging that our service here or there. So we're here trying to do some service, just like he's somewhere else, and Mother Vrindavaneshri is somewhere else doing service. So we're also going to have to leave this place and do some other service. But in the meantime, we should utilize this opportunity and try to make progress, not only in many ways in our service. That is, we shouldn't think we're here forever. That we have so many opportunities to render service to the devotees. So that devotional mood is probably in all the different homages that I heard for many hours. Probably the most important thing was the mood of service. Tamalakrishna Maharaj, for instance, was, as it was expressed, that he was very conscious of the relationship he had with his whoever he came in contact with. So we should also be very conscious of the relationship we have with whoever we come in contact with and try and develop a service attitude. In the material world, people are very much inclined, whoever they come in contact with, to try and figure out what they can get from them and what they suffer to lose from that relationship. But the devotees, whatever relationship they come in contact with, if they can develop the mentality of how I can become a better servant. And to become a servant means to rely upon the help from higher authorities, higher examples of how to be a better servant. Not that independently we concoct our own methods of serving others, but by meditation on the better, higher examples of previous acharyas and authorities, try to see how in every circumstance we can serve the Vaishnavas better, and this way actually do something meaningful for the Sankirtan movement. So in every respect, for these two Vaishnavas, that I can certainly look back at my relationship with them and see their example of servants, and at the same time see how they were helping to encourage me to become a better servant also. Because ultimately that's all we take with us when we leave this body in terms of devotional service, just the mood of service that we had to the Vaishnavas, how much we've developed that. So, any comments?
Yes.
No, she was initiated by His Holiness Indradumi Maharaj. But she developed a very close relation with Tamalakrishna Maharaj. Yes. Yeah, she had one son. He's pretty, as far as I can see, he's pretty big. Yeah, he was... Her first husband left, but then she married again with Kala Sambara, and it's quite a nice family. Actually, their plans when they were leaving Kalasambara, they wanted to start in Auckland at the farm they have there. They were telling me they wanted to start a society there just to help the different devotees there, because she was quite a really a selfless lady. She really tried to look after the Vaishnavas. So they wanted to start a health clinic and yoga retreat and different things to help the Vaishnavas there. But her son was, I think he must be, he's probably around 12 or 13 years old now. He's not huge, but he's getting there. Anything else? He was so prominent that probably everyone knew him. To some degree or another. But he was the first devotee like that who left. Other devotees who were prominent, for instance, during Prabhupada's time, many devotees now may not know them, but he was, Kala Krishnamurti was quite well known to so many devotees around the world. And everyone has something to say that he could appreciate about him. Wherever he was, everyone was quite aware of him. So that, and also, if you read, probably no one has done as much service as he did all around the world. Anything else? I don't think I had much to add, but as it says, he reasons ill who thinks that Vaishnavas die, but thou art living still in his town. If Vaishnavas die to live, and living spread the holy name around. So for those who remember his example and his instructions, they certainly get his association. I remember when Prabhupada was here that I had the opportunity to associate with Prabhupada, especially in the beginning, quite a number of times, because I was the temple president. And during those years, 1969, 70, 71, before I joined Radha Damodar, all the way up to 75. And even after that, I had the chance to associate with Prabhupada. But I think that after Prabhupada left, that my relationship with him increased even more, because then the only way of associating with Prabhupada was through remembering his instructions, which automatically helped me remember his activities and actually understand more deeply what his instructions were. So I think in the same way, for any Vaishnava, generally when we're present, we may not remember them as intently as consciously as we do when they leave. Although we can associate with any Vaishnava by remembering their instructions and their example and trying to follow them, that will automatically bring in contact with that devotee. But when they're present, sometimes we take them for granted. But after their physical disappearance, then generally our meditation increases even more greatly. So that way the association can actually become even more intimate. So for anyone who wants to access that platform of transcendental awareness, it's always available. So all these devotees are available on that platform. But if we have a special relationship with that devotee, then it becomes easier or more the possibility of associating with that particular devotee greatly increases through feelings of loving feelings of separation. And when that's realized, one will realize that actually there is no real separation, although the feeling of separation will be there. And by such training, this is how we get trained, so that eventually we can feel love and separation from Krishna and go back to the spiritual world. Okay, so thank you very much. Krantara Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Sotama Krishna Maharaj ki jai, Sri Vrinda Venetri ki jai, Gaur Premanande ki jai.